Yo, all the way from our studio in sunny Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the MSP 101 podcast, and we are live to hard drive with our latest episode. Let's go. Hey, Nick, what's going on today?
Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
I'm doing very good, my friend. And I think you are doing even better. You're prepping for DEF CON later this week, aren't you?
I'm so excited about DEF CON.
Dude, and I'm so jealous.
I think it's almost as much fun just to get ready for DEF CON as it is to attend. Just yeah. All the preparations to go hang out on a hostile network for a week.
So I have so many questions about your prep. But my first question, you've been to a lot of IT conferences, a lot of conferences in general. Do you prepare for any conference as much as you prepare to go to DEF CON?
No, absolutely not. So absolutely not. It's like a week's worth of prep, you know, for DEF CON, you know, to get things in order. So you feel like you have some semblance of security, you know, while you're there. Usually at a conference, you're just picking breakout sessions, and that's only a very small part of DEF CON. So getting everything together to be safe and make it a fun trip is key.
Now, when you say safe, I mean, obviously, but I know what you mean, and I'm sure everybody else knows what you mean, but just for the point of clarity, you mean safe from a technology standpoint, not that there's, you know, you got to prepare for the, the mean streets of Las Vegas. You don't got your staff in your back pocket, do you?
I don't know, man. There's a lot of neckbeards there. I mean, someone might cast a spell on me or something, but that's the only thing I'd be worried about in Vegas. But yeah, absolutely. Just a technology security standpoint, you know, I've heard people say that it's the most hostile network on earth, you know, the DEF CON network for the conference. So it's very important to have some forethought and to really, you know, think about how you're interacting with other people, what you're saying, what information you disclose, how protected your devices are, things like that.
Right. So can you walk us through some of the things you're doing to prepare to harden your perimeter?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, one thing that we're doing, we've done last year and this year, we had a lot of success with it when Taylor and I went, was we may go a little bit over the top, but I don't think so. But we do, we take burner cell phones. So our main cell phones that we have, We put them in Faraday bags in our hotel, in the safe, if that gives you an idea. Same with all our credit cards, stuff like that. There's RFID sniffers and scanners, and any type of data stealing mechanism is all around you pretty much the entire time you're there. So it's important to be aware of like what's on you. Even something as passively as carrying a credit card that's not in an RFID wallet could get the information compromised and stolen. So what we do when we're there, we normally go to a store and buy one of those prepaid Visa cards with a couple hundred bucks on it to carry around with us while we're attending the conference and we're around the conference, you know, hotels in general, you know, that we use for just, you know, spending money, petty cash, whatever it may be. But if we leave the site of, you know, where the conference takes place, you know, we'll actually take our normal credit cards and stuff like that in an RFID enclosed, you know, wallet or something. But right.
So is this all just using your, you know, your technical know-how that you're putting this together and knowing what how to defend yourself, or are you following any DEF CON guides, or how are you preparing, or what are you using to help you make sure you're fully prepared for this?
We found a blog post, I think, last year. You know, Taylor and I like to kick things around and really talk through scenarios like this. Taylor, it's something he's really good at, actually. And we talked it through, and we found some blog posts. We're like, well, you know, how security really have to be? Do you really think it's going to be that bad or this? And we found a lot of horror stories on the internet of people that had a bad time, you know, testing, you know, some of these theories. So We really go all out to protect ourselves so we can enjoy the conference, you know, and have a good time. So this year, one thing we didn't do last year was actually take laptops. You know, to us, it sounded crazy to even take a laptop, you know, because what are you going to do? We didn't know you know, about the DEF CON experience. You know, we found that, you know, there's activities to do there. So this year we prepared burner laptops that we had laying around, old laptops that are not in use anymore, and set those up to take.
Yeah.
So that's been an extra step.
So, and what operating system are you running on these burner laptops?
I'm going to run Windows 10, just the whatever the most up-to-date standard Windows 10 version. I think Taylor said that he's going to dual boot Windows and Kali this year. So he's going to go a little bit more more advanced with his setup.
Right. So how many times have you been to DEF CON now?
This will be my second time out there.
Yeah. So what is it like when you know, you're day one, you walk in, you know, we've all been to tech conferences, but again, you know, just how you have to take this extra preparation. I'm sure that DEF CON differs in a lot of ways from the normal tech conferences. Are there vendors everywhere? Is it all just enthusiasts? You know, are people, you know, walking around with antennas hanging out of their backpacks and stuff like that? I mean, what do you see? What did you see when you first walked in?
So the first thing you see when you walk in is what they call Line Con. It's this huge line,
which is similar to many, many conferences.
Yeah. So the way DEF CON is different than many of these is you can't buy tickets to DEF CON. There's no such thing. You have to pay cash at the door, so to speak, for your conference passes.
Really?
And there's no option to order them online. You can't pay with a credit card. You have to pay cash. Just policy of the conference is in protection for everyone. You know, there's no record that you paid to attend. There's no record that anybody accepted any money from anybody. Nobody has a database of this information. It's all cash. So that, while good, presents a problem in that you have thousands and thousands and thousands of people in line. You have to go through this huge line, throughout this maze of this, you know, massive conference space at one of the hotels, and buy your badge and your pass for the conference, and then kind of go from there. What we learned last year, we thought, oh, you know, we'll get up, you know, a little early, and we'll get by there and get our pick up our badge and then start. But no one told us about this huge line. So I think this year may just stay up a little later and not go to bed and pick up the passes super early Thursday morning and then go about our business. But yeah, the line is the first thing you see for sure.
Yeah. And is there entertaining stuff going on, or people just trudging through this line? And can you pay in Bitcoin? I would think that would be a thing, but maybe not.
I don't know. I haven't seen anything where you can pay in Bitcoin, but I'm sure that's probably something they'll look to implement in the future.
Yeah.
But like,
so you get through, yeah, you get through, yep, the line, you pay your cash, you get your tickets, and then what?
It's almost disorienting. So the conference takes place over three or four hotels, you know, that are sort of adjacent to each other on the strip. So it's this huge, you know, setup. It's way more spread out than any other conference I've ever been to, just by as many people that are there. And there's DEF CON has something unique that a lot of conferences don't. They have breakout sessions, which is pretty standard. We all know what those are. They have the talks, you know, where they have people presenting emerging security information, you know, things they've compromised, things they've, you know, discovered. They'll also have, and the unique part is these villages. So they'll have these kind of communities, you know, within this DEF CON ecosystem of these very niche, you know, things. So they have like the vehicle hacking village. They had last year they had the voting machine hacking area. They have healthcare hacking, where they hack pacemakers, and all these communities, IoT village, they have a blue team village, they have a red team, you know, it's all these kind of communities have their like sub DEF CON experiences associated with them. So if you can get in one of these crews, so to speak, your experience could be wildly different than someone who just generally attends the conference versus if you kind of hang out in this one area and kind of experience it through that lens. So it's a lot of opportunity at DEF CON for different experiences in that regard.
Was there, is it, so the mystique of DEF CON for me, or at least my, you know, what I've built it up in my mind is that it's just this conference just full of these super, super smart people doing things that so few, you know, anybody else in the industry is just difficult, you know, just beyond our understanding. When you go there, do you come away feeling like you've learned a lot, or is it just, you know, you're just kind of having your mind blown left and right about what other people are able to accomplish, but not really coming away with, you know, feeling like you're, you know, you've gained any sort of appreciable skill in this area?
I would say it's kind of goes both ways. I felt at times last year, you know, that there wasn't some value in a lot of things that I saw, but I think it's part of the learning experience at DEF CON. Like I said, there's so much there. I'll give you an example of what I mean. So some of the talks they'll have written out, you know, you look at it and it's like, oh, that's interesting. One, for example, there was this kid who was able to hack an Alexa device and he was able to get root access to an Alexa and do all these crazy things with it. I was like, that sounds interesting. We'll go check him out. But when we got to the talk, it was extremely technical, you know, down to like, you know, bit levels and disassembling the device and resoldering things and, you know, and then deep exploration into the code of how Alexa works and communicates back to Amazon. And if there was 10 people in a room of 500 that knew what he was talking about, I would have been surprised. Like it was.
And so is that one end of the extreme spectrum? And then at the other end is what?
I would say it's more common for them to be that technical than not at DEF CON.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that I saw, like I mentioned, Taylor and I would be there and we'd be sitting in some of these talks. We're 10 minutes in. We look at each other like, let's just go. We have no idea what this guy's talking about. You know, we understand the premise. let's go get a beer or something, you know, play craps for a little while.
Find that hidden people, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's some good stuff. Like I said, it's, the way you tailor your experience is the, not to make a pun, I guess, but the way you really design your experience there is important. There's a lot of different avenues and ways you can take. And like I said, it's almost disorienting just showing up fresh. So now we kind of got a little handle on what to do and how to do it. So we think this year will be a little bit better in sort of selecting what we spend our time on. We learned about 3/4 of the way through last year that every single talk, with the exception of Sky Talks, are recorded and posted at a later date. So really tracking down or going to see, you know, these talks are sort of a waste of your time while you're there, because you can just watch them on YouTube or on, you know, DEF CON's website, or grab the torrent, you know, at a later date.
Yeah.
Unless it's something just really compelling, there's no reason to go to the talks. So that's something interesting that we learned this time, because usually at conferences, like, that's what you go for. You want to hear these breakout sections, these talks, and that's one of the driving factors of going, along with, you know, meeting other people that are doing what you're doing. But we found that the talks were not the thing to do at DEF CON for the most part.
Right. So what did you enjoy the most? What did you find the best use of your time?
I really liked the Sky Talks. You know, we went to a couple of those. And Sky Talks are different. Sky Talks is like a separate organization from the DEF CON system. But the premise of Sky Talks is it's supposed to be a private conversation with a smaller audience, and it's not recorded, it's not filmed, there's no listening devices. And that's typically where a lot of the more nefarious, you know, exploits are revealed in that type of arena, where there's no film, there's no evidence, so to speak, other than you hearing the person say this stuff. But they're very strict about no phones, no anything. If you take your phone out of your pocket, they'll tell you to put it back in. They have people walking the aisles in these rooms. That was pretty cool. They're really serious about it. So that part was pretty neat. Going to the villages was also a really, really cool part. So just kind of again, the first year, just kind of filling everything out, seeing what's going on. But visiting these kind of ecosystems, these pods around DEF CON, and checking those out, you know, was really, really interesting. So each one, they'll have like the soldering village. They're making badges. You know, at DEF CON, you don't get a conference pass. You get a circuit board badge that lights up, and you can actually interact with it. It's meant to be a puzzle. There's a port on it where you can hook it up to your computer, you know, manipulate it, and if you dare, yeah. You know, so that it's more interactive. So the villages, they'll have villages that are soldering or badges, you know, where you go in there and create custom badges, or they'll show you how to solder, or they'll show you how to do these things. And as part of their individual community, the networking village, which we spent a lot of time at, for instance, has all these challenges like capture the flag challenges and honeypots set up in a pseudo, I'm doing quotes with my hands, air quotes, safe environment, where you go in and try to do this objective or find this data in this Wireshark, you know, outputs, you know, try to sniff the network for things. And that's where the infamous wall of sheep TV screen is in that area, that any credentials that were obtained by people that were on the DEF CON network, they post on this huge projection screen. So if you, any of your accounts get compromised, they live on the screen for the entire conference.
Wow. Now, I've heard about, and maybe it was you that told me about, the Spotify. Is that a thing?
I'm not familiar with that, actually. I don't think that was me.
No, it's
they're finding federal agents. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so after the Snowden leaks, I think the CIA, the FBI, the NSA were all disinvited, right, from DEF CON. And
that's
so
that's right.
They just decided, well, we'll just go with civilians. And it became kind of like a, what do they call it? Where you go looking for things like, oh gosh, words escaping me.
I want to say a treasure hunt, but it's not that.
I cannot believe I'm blanking on this. Anyway, let's move on. But so yeah, so that's, is that a thing? Did you see that when you were there?
Yeah. So actually in the rules, the unofficial rules, there are no official rules of DEF CON that I'm aware of, but they say that be prepared to have your picture taken at any time while you're there because of that. But that's a legitimate thing. They do try to find federal agents, and if they do find them, they'll post their photos on the walls and stuff like that, so everybody knows who they are.
Yeah. And that wall tends to fill up over the course of the conference.
Exactly. Exactly. I think now, honestly, there wasn't a ton of stuff on the wall of sheep when Taylor and I were there. I'm sure there was things that were discovered or people found they didn't share there. But there's not a ton of stuff, with a lot of things being encrypted and secured now, it's harder to, you know, to just grab plain text, you know, transmits, you know, going over a network. So there, I imagine as time goes on, there'll be less and less of that, but it is still a thing. For sure. Still something to be worried about.
Right. So what was your favorite exploit from last year?
Favorite exploit? I don't know that I had a particularly favorite exploit. One thing that I thought was interesting is that the car hacking area, which is a small crew at DEF CON, Elon actually showed up to one of their outings, you know, just randomly, you know, they were at some restaurant or something, you know, having a drink or some dinner, and Elon showed up and just said hello to everyone, gave like a short talk, and then bounced out of there. I thought that was pretty cool. Someone like him and his stature, you know, thinks enough of these kind of events to, you know, take them seriously and support the community around that.
Yeah. 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 Well, and probably a good source of quality testing, right?
Yeah, maybe talent acquisition too. I mean, finding some smart guys for Tesla and SpaceX. So
have you done any research on what is going to be there this year, or do they even post that much online?
They post what speakers are going to be there, and they post, you know, the events that are happening. And I think that's something I'm going to try to be more of a participant this year than, say, a tourist. Like last year, you know, we're just trying to figure everything out. This year, kind of know what to expect, know what to do, and participating in some of the challenges dusting off some of my technical skills, and just being more of an attendee than, like I said, than a tourist.
Right.
So I think that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. And what is it, just a normal like nine to five, but you know, normal, you know, sun up to sundown kind of thing, or does it get pretty crazy at night?
It's all over the place. Yeah. There are no hours. I think they have events up in like official events up until 12 or 1 a.m., something like that in Vegas. And that was Hacker Jeopardy, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that, you should watch some videos on YouTube if they're up. But they have that, which is a pretty cool event to go to. And that's normally really late at night. Everybody gets drunk and, you know, they play Hacker Jeopardy. But there's those, again, the villages and those ecosystems kind of make their own conference. So like the Blue Team Village guys are having, they're partying and hacking and doing, you know, what they do on through the night. So if you get up early at DEF CON and you're walking through the conference area, you may, just like Vegas normally, you see people sleeping it off in a hallway or, you know, slumped over their open laptop, you know, trying to get a few hours of sleep. Same kind of deal. So it really doesn't stop, you know, just like the city itself.
Yeah. I was Googling and I see, I guess this is a post from 2 years ago on Reddit. It says prep for DEF CON ? First time, comma, looking to not fuck it up. So I guess this person's trying to avoid getting hacked. But the number one, or the first line of the first comment is, DEF CON is a conference of conferences. There's too much to try and cover in 4 days. So you're not going to be able to do it all.
It really is.
Yeah. Do you know who the keynote speakers are? Or do they, I mean, I know they have speakers, but do they have like one big keynote address? Or is it just sort of sessions kind of peppered throughout the week?
They have a bunch of them. They're really all over the place. There's not really like, at most conferences, I think like you're alluding to, like there's a, in the morning, it's like a gathering spot. You know, there's this big, the Intel, you know, CIO will talk for 30 minutes about something that doesn't matter. they don't have that at DEF CON. You know, there's a bunch of big talks, but there's so many people and it's so spread out. There's really not any way they could have one main talk. There's just too many people.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Sorry about that.
I turned that ringer off, man. You had Dottie. Now we got Outlook alerts.
Sorry. I'm not very computer savvy. Yeah. So did you? Yeah. Yeah. My cat, she likes to yell at me while we record. So is there, you know, like I know Taylor, he's definitely into, you know, maybe playing in the shadows to a degree. I know he has a Wi-Fi pineapple and some other cool toys. Does he take that stuff with him, or does all that stuff stay home when he goes?
I don't know if he's going to take it this year or not. I think last year he got the pineapple post DEF CON and started playing around with it. But he's definitely more on the technical side than I am, for sure. So he plays around with that stuff and, you know, messes around, you know, trying to understand how someone could gain, you know, credentials or could sniff networks, stuff like that. So I'm not sure if he's brave enough to take that into DEF CON. So certainly some bad things could happen if you really don't know what you're doing.
That'd be poetic justice, getting hacked through your pineapple.
Yeah, I'm sure it happens. I'm sure, because they sell them there, you know, in those, you know, the script kiddies that fire these things up thinking they're going to hack some hackers probably.
Oh my God. Could you imagine?
Don't have a good time. So.
No.
But they're there. I mean, you see some guys with like those custom rigs where they have like huge antennas. Like they have these custom made backpacks with like 30 pineapples, you know, mounted on them. This like, you know, metal frame that they carry around. Just sucking up any type of data that's around them. I don't even know what everything that thing is capturing, but
right,
that guy just like walks the conference, just getting everything that's in the air, just gets it.
I went to a security conference here, and the keynote speaker was Kevin Mitnick, which I, you know, the world's most famous hacker, you know, wrote, he's written several books now. The one that I've read and enjoyed was Ghost in the Wires, which was his autobiography. And he demonstrated just how insecure key cards are, or key fobs. And, he did this demonstration. He called somebody up from out of the audience who had a key fob, and they let him borrow it. And he cloned it in like 2 seconds by holding it up to this thing. And he said that, and then he showed us one that he had weaponized, and it was basically just this, what, this reader on steroids, but it would still fit in a backpack. And he said he wore it all weekend in DEF CON and collected, like you said, just, you know, it's like walking around with a giant magnet and collecting, you know, anything metallic that's within distance. I think he said he had 15,000 data points or something at the end of the conference. So yeah, it's cool stuff what people do and what they can figure out with that kind of information.
It's interesting you mentioned that. I think Taylor recently got a key fob cloner, and he was showing me, like, if he can get within a few, you know, I think a couple like feet of your, if your keys are laying on the table, he can put the device over them for just a few seconds and grab whatever data's on it and clone it to another fob. So if you're sitting at a restaurant or something with a few people or at a crowded, you know, bar or something like that, you could easily have your key fob data stolen.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and what he said was, and you know, this guy, I forget the name of his company, but you know, KnowBefore is a product that you and I've talked about offline. That's his company, you know, came up with that and is selling it. But he also does penetration testing. And he told us on stage, and it was a fascinating, it was a 90-minute keynote, and it went by, you know, in the blink of an eye, because it was just so fascinating what he was able to demonstrate on stage and the stories he had to tell. He said when, you know, there's different criteria, you know, a company will engage them and say, I want you to, you know, test our defenses, and the sky's the limit. Use anything in your arsenal. Or I want you to test our infrastructure, no social engineering, or, you know, what have you. They, you know, they can dictate the terms that they're tested against. And he said, you know, the company's been around for, I forget, 15 years, something like that. And when they are allowed to use social engineering, they have 100% success rate, 100% success rate in penetrating these companies. And he said, these are not like small mom and pop shops. And he talks about this one where it was the client. He didn't go into any details about what the client was, but he said they were on a secure, they were inside of a secured building on a secured floor in a secured area on that floor. And so he just talks about what they did to get in, and he pretended to be an interested potential tenant in the building. So a week ahead of time, he called the property manager, met them on site, cloned their key card by, you know, he had one of those key card readers in like a folio, you know, like a leather bound folio, and, you know, just waved it near the person, was able to clone it, got into the building that way, was able to get on to the floor somehow. And then basically he had one of those backpacks on. He said he hung out in a urinal for 2 or 3 hours waiting on someone to come out of the secured area and use the urinal next to him with their key card on their hip. And because he was within a foot of them, he was able to clone it. So, you know, without any sort of effort or risk, really, he was able to get into their secured area inside of a secured floor, inside of a secured building, without any kind of hacking. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, the cloning is a hack, but really it was putting himself in a position to be near those key fobs.
That's amazing. You know, and it's scary that's really all it takes. Someone with, you know, a decent plan and really a low tech device, you know, key card cloner, you know, social engineering, I mean, can get you pretty much anywhere. They always make that joke. If you wear an orange vest and a hard hat or have a clipboard, nobody will ask you any questions, like no matter where you are. Right.
Yeah. I had a guy tell me he wears a tie every day because he works in New York City and he never knows when he's going to need a bathroom, and nobody stops a guy wearing a tie looking like he's in a hurry. Like you walk some fancy hotel, the bellman's not going to stop you if you're wearing a tie and walking with a purpose. They're going to think, okay, this guy, he's got somewhere to be.
That's true. That's true. That's the New York City go anywhere uniform, maybe.
Yeah.
It's so funny that that story, Jesse, reminds me of like my most favorite security story of all time. One that I saw posted on Reddit a few years ago. And I think you and I talked about this before in the past, but I'll tell it here briefly. Hopefully I won't mess it up too bad. But the sysadmin, you know, the company, they were doing a penetration test. They had hired an external organization to come in and pen test, you know, the network. And he's like, you know, they're doing it on a Saturday, so it wouldn't impact production. He's like, these guys aren't going to get in. You know, this network's hardened, you know, I'm good to go. So He went to the security room to watch these guys, you know, to see what would happen. He had no idea what they were going to do or how they were going to do anything. But he said, just like you alluded to, that he said they saw this guy like hanging around, this homeless guy hanging around outside, like a McDonald's bag outside the front door. They could see him on the security camera hanging around, like begging for money, doing all this stuff. And people were like shooing him off and same kind of deal. Like after a while, the guy walks up to the door, like presents the bag to the key fob scanner, and the door opens to their amazement, you know, and he was collecting key fobs, and he wanted to get enough key fobs, you know, to have a certain level of access. So he had captured all this data, made a card real quick, and not only like one fob, you know, he had dumped data of a whole bunch of fobs onto one or two or three. So he had varying levels of access, you know, was his goal. So he gets into the building and they watch him as he keeps progressing through all of these secure areas, you know, throughout their building with little to no resistance, just bing, 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 you know, going through all the doors. And they can't believe it. And he's like, he finally gets to the last door and like, this door is secure. Nobody has access to this, you know, but one or two people, and he didn't get them. They didn't walk past him. And the guy looks up and down the door. He kind of feels around on it. They're like, yeah, this is the end of the line. It's going to end here. We won. You know, he didn't get into the server room, you know, the most secure area. So the guy, you know, assesses the door, realizes there's some kind of sensor on the door, pees on the door. And that tripped the sensor in some manner. The guy recognized what type of sensor, what type of security system the door had. The door just flings open, you know, once he does that. And he walks into the server room, makes a call, and said, we're done. So
I just love it. This guy's like, what kind of door is this? Oh, a Filson 192. Yep, pee on it. That'll get me in.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
That's acquire such knowledge?
This is a story. I think it was on our sysadmin or somewhere on Reddit. I mean, it's a legit thing. I mean, as legit as Reddit could be, I guess. But I mean, it was a real event, allegedly, that happened with this crew. So if you're interested, go look that up. It's on there.
I saw something on sysadmin. I think it was sysadmin not that long ago. And it's a door. It's an exterior steel door. And it has, you know, like the big, you know, you turn, you know, it's like a, you know, like you grip the door handle and you turn it 90 degrees. It's not like a knob, it's a handle. And above it has a very serious looking keypad, you know, all steel and everything. And it's not a door to like inside of a building. It's like a door to like a courtyard, but the door itself is just these slats. And the guy just reaches through and turns the knob on the other side of the door and it just opens.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Nick, I appreciate it. I appreciate your time and giving us a primer for what to expect with DEF CON. We'll keep an eye on the news and we'll be looking forward to the debrief episode if you and Taylor are lucky enough to make it back out of there.
Yeah, just be ready with bail money if needed.
I will disavow all knowledge of you or Taylor.
That's right. We never had this conversation.
I'll go to your house and delete your browsing history, and that's about all I can do for you.
And just burn it down as well. That'd be best.
All right, Nick. Thanks again, man. Safe travels.
All right. See you later. Thanks.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to the MSP 101 podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Drop us a line at yo@msp101.com, at @getmsp101 on Twitter, and check out the show notes and other information at msp101.com.